Kia ora. Welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. But right now, we're going to hear from our senior leader, Ben Kendrew. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us as we gather to worship your holy name today, as we open your word. We thank you, you are with us in every service and gathering across the country. But God, more than just in these moments this morning, I thank you that you are with your church. You are building your church. Each and every person, each one of us as living stones, part of that church, you are building us. So God, I pray that you would speak through me to every person, to our church, prophetically today in Jesus' name. And if you're ready to receive the word of God, say amen, amen, amen. We're going to read from the book of Haggai. Haggai, a minor prophet at the end of the Old Testament. One of those ones sometimes you can rush through in your Bible in a year plan, and it's a book, just two chapters that I'm encouraging everyone, maybe over these next few weeks, maybe this calendar week, you could read through Haggai, pray through Haggai. I reckon you could do that. I think every person could achieve reading two chapters this week. And God has been ministering to me out of this book for this whole calendar year, in fact, for the end of last year, which I'll talk about shortly. So I'm going to read from Haggai chapter 1, a couple of verses, and then Haggai chapter 2 as well. And chapter 1, starting in verse 13, it says this: Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. Is there anyone in any campus today thankful that he is our ever-present help? He is with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. Amen. And so the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel the governor. He sparked the enthusiasm of Jeshua the high priest, and he sparked the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people, and they began to work on the house of their God. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a spark. There's a spark. Come on, turn to your neighbor here in the Arise Center. Help me preach a little bit this morning. There's a spark. In chapter two, starting in verse 3, it says this: Haggai the prophet speaking again to Zerubbabel and the people. He says, does anyone remember this house, this temple in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, a word for you today, a word for Arise Church today. Be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua. Be strong, Teresa. Be strong, Aaron and Pauline. Be strong, Donovan. Be strong, Mike. Be strong, insert your name here. Be strong, all you people left in the land. And now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. Do not be afraid. I feel a prophetic utterance to declare into the heart of our church across the nation today that there is a spark in the air. Biblically speaking, what I feel, my study, my prayer, my understanding of what God did for Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and all of God's people in their time, in their day, in their location, I declare in the name of Jesus, he is doing it from Whangarei to Dunedin in this beautiful family called Arise Church. There's a spark in the air. A spark, it's something small that ignites something great. A wildfire that can move across vast expanses of land usually starts with one spark. An engine that can move at 300 k's an hour, great speed, great power. An engine comes to life with a spark. And a church, God's plan on earth to bring his hope, his love, his peace, his joy, God's vehicle for the Great Commission, the church, it can come alive with a spark. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them there's a spark in the air. There's a spark in the air. Come on, we're declaring it together today. This theme passage of scripture we find in Haggai. Haggai was a prophet, a prophetic voice that God prompted to speak to Zerubbabel and Jeshua to prompt the people, to stir the people to action. I want you to know, as the lead pastor of Arise, I have experienced the spark of enthusiasm, as the New Living Translation says. Other translations say a stirring in the spirit. It's been happening for me now for 9 months. We gathered in this room in October 2024, people from every campus of Arise for the first time in 3 years, one place of worship and unity as a church family across New Zealand. We gathered, and out of that, I felt a spark in my spirit. I began to read these passages. I began to study. I began to allow the Spirit of God to stir something in me like he did in Zerubbabel thousands of years ago. For me, it's been cultivated and accentuated and accelerated in prayer retreats, just me and the Lord, or in prayer meetings in our staff environments, or on a Tuesday night here at the Arise Center, or a Friday night at the Christchurch office. In the midst of our 10 days of prayer, the spark has come alive. I've experienced the spark when we've gathered for nights or services of worship, much like this morning, where the clock says one thing, but God is doing another thing. And so we say we will yield to the Spirit of the Lord and open up and create space. We've had services in the last year where there has only been a gospel invitation, but no preaching of the word, because we just hunger to worship. And in these environments, I've had a spark. I've been reading books over the last year, and that's not the first time. I've read books for about 40 odd years. Thank you, Donovan. But maybe what has been something unique this year, I found myself reading through a book about revivals of days gone by, a book about prayer I read recently, a book full of testimonies of God's power and goodness. And I find myself partway through a paragraph, and I'm a completist. I just want to finish paragraph or chapter, please. But God would say, put the book down and begin to pray. I would have to stop listening to a podcast or an interview with someone testifying of God's goodness and take the earpods out and begin to thank God for what he's done. Maybe in a nation like Malawi, maybe in a nation across the globe, and begin to ask God, would you do it here? Would you do it now? Would you do it in every great town and city across Aotearoa, New Zealand? I mentioned before we had 10 days of prayer and fasting in June as a church, end of May, start of June, and the spark was well and truly became a wildfire in my spirit. And I watched it in our campuses and prayer meetings and church services and in our staff environments. I watched the spark come alight. And the phrase that I felt the Lord declare into my spirit at the end of 2024, as we launched into 2025, Ben, for Arise Church, it's time to build. A time to build. I believe for some of us right across the country, maybe you in Whangarei, maybe today in Dunedin, it's time to build again. For you had once stepped out in faith, yielded your will to the will of God, said, I will do what you've called me to do, but for whatever reason in the last season of life, whether it be in church ministry or where God's called you to in the marketplace, whatever reason, you had laid dormant, and God says it's time to build again. Maybe for many right across the nation, God is saying, for the first time, you are hearing something in your spirit. Something is being ignited and sparked. A tool is being placed in your hand. A revelation that God has put me here for a plan and a purpose. And for you, maybe for the very first time, something is coming alive saying, it's time to build for the first time. For the first time. I feel that the reason the Lord brought this passage to the forefront of our church this year is it resonates in many ways. In many ways. Remember, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures are living and active. Living and active. That's how they're described in the Holy Scriptures. That means that things that are narratives and historic accounts from centuries and centuries ago are living and active and have a part to play in our life right here, right now. Who's thankful that the Word of God is not just a historical account, but is speaking into your situation? So let me just give a quick little Bible study on a Sunday for you about these two chapters in the book of Haggai. Haggai is a prophet, Zerubbabel is a leader, a governor, Jeshua is a high priest, a leader, and there are these great people, God's people. God's people who he says, now get to work, be strong, it's time to build. Here's what had happened. The people had been given permission to rebuild a temple for God. What do you mean rebuild, Ben? Well, there had been a glorious temple, Solomon's temple. It was the most majestic piece of architecture the world has probably ever known, certainly at that point. And it had been destroyed. There had been opposition. It was left as rubble. But the people of God had begun to build again. They had laid a foundation. In fact, we learned that they had done that for 2 years. Built a foundation, strengthened it, dedicated it. If you're new to the Arise journey, you may or may not be aware, Amy and I were appointed just under 2 years ago, August of 2023. 2 years of strengthening the foundations as a church, acknowledging the beauty of what God had done over two decades and recognizing, God, what would you have us do as we step into the future? At that season, 2023, 2 years ago, we declared prophetically, it's a new day dawning. We're into the next chapter of Arise. We praise you for what you've done, Lord. But we say, God, what would you have us do next? 2 years of strengthening foundations was some of our language. 2 years of, yes, getting policies and procedures right, but also becoming a people of prayer, a house of worship. Are these familiar to you? These values that we declared at the start of last year, that we would live a life of service. What a powerful video to see what God has done through you, through this church, as we live for others and not for ourselves, that we would be people of mountain-moving faith. We are laying foundations. But why did Haggai have to prompt, maybe even challenge Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the people, it's time to get to work? Because for 2 years they'd laid a foundation. The Bible says they dedicated that foundation. And then for 16 years, they left it as a foundation. For 16 years, they got distracted. For 16 years, they focused on some other things, carnal things. In fact, Haggai puts it pretty brutally. Why are you working on your house when God's house lies in ruins? For 16 years, they started to focus on things that God had not called them to focus on. And it required a prophetic voice in the canon of Scripture to say, come on, team. God is doing something significant. Do you want to watch? Do you want to let it pass by? Or do you want to grab hold of what God is doing and get to work? It's time to build. They were called to build, but they got distracted. Why did they get distracted? Why do any of us get distracted from the things that God has called us to do? Because we get discouraged. They got discouraged. There is a picture here. A temple foundation had been laid and dedicated, but there was still ruins around it. There was still rubble. There was still incomplete projects. We live in Christchurch, and if you're unfamiliar, Christchurch, New Zealand suffered one of New Zealand's most severe natural disasters in 2011, an earthquake that killed nearly 200 people, and the city literally was in ruins, rubble everywhere, stones everywhere. And living in that time, in that place, we had a three-month-old daughter. We knew we were called to that city to be part of God's answer, both spiritually and now physically. I remember digging silt for months and months. Church really became an aid organization for many months. We knew God had called us there. But I don't know, I mean, for 2011, 2012, maybe into 2013, I had grace for the rubble. Like, I was okay with the fact that everywhere you turned, there was a new roadblock because they're trying to sort that building out. Or now there was another set of rubble that a car park company had put a sign up, said, if you want to drive in there, $400 an hour. You know, very, very opportunistic people around. But once you start to get 3, 4, 5, 8 years down the track, you're over the rubble. It became annoying. It became annoying that the rest of Aotearoa New Zealand seemed to be getting on with life. And we're like, yo, we don't even have a stadium. We got the best rugby team in the world, Logan, and we don't even have a stadium. Carnal things, I know. But a picture for us, I'm thankful now that I am on the other side because people had vision to say it's going to be 5, 8, 10 years and look at what a city Christchurch has become. Even Patrick Gower said that it's the most vibrant city in all of New Zealand. I don't agree with a lot of what Paddy Gower says, but I do with that. The project had begun, but it lay incomplete. There are people here, God called you to something. The study that you went into, the business you began a decade ago, the town or city that you picked up your family and moved to, you did so on a God call, on a spark, out of obedience. But then you got discouraged. Because when we do something for God, there's always going to be opposition. Amen? What a funny one to say amen to. But there will be. When we take ground for the kingdom, there will be resistance to that advancement of his kingdom. I don't know about you, but I don't want us to be as a church 16 years down the track, kind of meandering along and requiring a prophet to come from the nation of Malawi to say, hey, arise church, get up, do some work. God's called you to impact a nation. I believe that a nation of 5 million people here in New Zealand could bow its knee and become a testimony to the globe of what a Christian nation looks like. Is there anyone that believes in Whangarei, Hamilton, Palmerston North, Masterton, Kapiti, Porirua, Selwyn, Christchurch and Dunedin that our nation could come to know Christ? But we need to get to work, amen? These were words for me, for sure. I needed this spark. Be strong, Ben. It's time to get to work. You've been faithful through a season of transition and rebuild, of strengthening foundations, but don't look at a foundation, say, nice foundation, move on to another foundation or get distracted. Don't let discouragement lead to distraction. You may be discouraged, but that's why three times in the verses we read today, God said, I am with you. My spirit remains among you. I will not leave you. Do not be afraid. Someone in this service today, right across the nation, maybe tuning in online, needs to remember that God will never leave you or forsake you. You might be in the midst of rubble and chaos, of turmoil and trial, but right there in the storm, Jesus is beside you. Jesus is calling you on. He will never leave you. And if you've got a testimony today of Christ never leaving you, come on, give him praise, give him thanks. Honor the Lord today. Here's what I felt the Lord urging me to remind our church today. It was the Lord who brings the spark and he has given you strength. It's the Lord who brings the spark. Do you remember reading that in Haggai? The Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, the enthusiasm of Jeshua. The Lord stirred up the spirit. I think that's important. It wasn't even Haggai the prophet who sparked Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel who sparked Jeshua. Sometimes we're so reliant on someone else receiving a spark from God, having something stirred up, so reliant on a worship leader to try and usher and coax me into the presence of God, relying on a youth pastor to tell me how to meet with God. He's told you how to meet with God, but I don't do it till next Friday wave night. We're so reliant on our parents' faith or our friends' faith. And here we read that the Lord had a spark for Zerubbabel and he had a spark for Jeshua. Oh, my prayer today is that the Lord would spark the enthusiasm of every person who calls Arise Church their home church. That the Lord would do it. That we're a Pentecostal church, not just by name and label, but because we are filled by the Spirit and led by the Spirit. That's you, my friend, in your 70th year. And that's you, my friend, in year 12, sparked by the Spirit. Pressing in, God, what would you have me do? The spark that you desperately need cannot be forged by man. God has what you need. God has what we need as a church. And that's why I felt the Lord say, remind people of my call. Remind people of my call. I've already mentioned it, but maybe the industry that you are in, the study that you embarked on, the suburb or city that you moved to, you did so because of a God call. The Lord sparked something inside of you. You did so because of a word. And maybe right now that spark, it's been diminished, it's been challenged, it's been downtrodden. Maybe it was a pandemic, maybe it was other economic circumstances, maybe it was opposition, maybe it was ridicule from friends or family, whatever it was, there was a spark, you know it was the Lord, it lines up with scripture, you responded, and now I've got an incomplete foundation and a bit of rubble. Today, my friend, my encouragement, my challenge, my urge is, go after that word again. You need a word because without a word, you will wane. You will drift. That's what happened to God's great people, and they required a fresh word from Haggai. Be strong. Now get to work. Pursue the Lord afresh. I think there are going to be people here this week. Maybe you'll do it this afternoon, tonight, before you embark upon the marketplace that God has called you to minister in, the school or university you're going to go to on Monday. And you are going to carve out time today to say, God, I know that you have called me. I know you have led me thus far, but you're not done with me yet. God, I want a word for the second half of 2025. I want a word to propel me into the next decade of ministry and kingdom impact. And I know he is faithful because that's my testimony. He will not leave us and he won't forsake us. Amen. The Lord brings the spark, and secondly, the Lord has given you strength. These are not counter to one another, because the Bible says the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, and God said, be strong, Zerubbabel. The same language, the same words that he used to Joshua as he led the people after following in the footsteps of Moses, but he was going to be the one to lead them into the promised land. It was be strong and very courageous, Joshua. Courage is required for a God call. Courage that God has given you. We choose strength. We opt for boldness. We decide because he is with me, because his spirit remains with me, because as the word declares, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. There are more for us than there'll ever be against us in Jesus' name. Because of that, I will go in the strength that I have. Have you heard that before? That's God to Gideon. The guy that he called to lead a nation of people, a group of people into freedom and out of oppression. And the guy who, like many of us, argue with God, you got the wrong guy, God. I'm the youngest in my family. My family's the worst of all the families from the worst part of town ever. And God's like, I'm not listening. I'm not looking for your disqualifications. I'm saying, in Judges 6:14, the Lord turned to Gideon and said, go with the strength you have, what I have already put within you. My testimony, church, in the most challenging and harrowing of times, I have found that the Lord has deposited into me what I need to get through the season that I'm facing. He has put it in me. My challenge is that I've disqualified it. I've rejected it. I've been distracted by other things. I've got caught up in appeasing people rather than reminding that God has put strength within me. When you have a word, you are reminded that God is with you and that he will not forsake you. I believe today, for many of us, it's time to build because it's time for you to go with the strength that you already have. Go with the strength you have. A word, I believe, for every person, as I said, every family, and certainly for us as a church. It's time to build. It's time to go with the strength that we have. We have a unique strength. There's a church body, one church in many locations across New Zealand. It's time to move. It's time to respond to God. It's time for us to be strong and get to work. And that's why as we approach next week, this powerful offering moment, is one of the reasons that we've chosen in the last few years not to always just come up with a new slogan, a new branding, so to speak, and just say it's the offering. Because all through scriptures, God's people would bring an offering and say, God, we are trusting you. We are bringing what you've given us. We put it in your hands and say, God, for your glory and for the changing of many lives, we bring you an offering. And this year we are shifting from laying foundations to building. We are shifting from trying to just steady and stabilize this ship called Arise. We're moving from using the offering for BAU, you might call it, or for operations, and saying, no, God is calling us in 2025 and into 2026 that it's time to build. It's time to take ground for the kingdom. It's time to impact more people who are hurting and vulnerable. It's time to show our nation that God is alive and his church is moving forward in Jesus' mighty name. It's a moment of unity and faith, of unity and faith. We're together, together as a church. We unite. That's the special part of this journey. Every person and every family uniting with our brothers and sisters. Every campus and location around New Zealand uniting to do things that we could not do in and of ourselves. But together, all together, that's where God commands unity, commands blessing, where there's unity. He's calling us to greater. So it's time to build. It's time to take steps forward. It's time to heed the call to our church. Now get to work, for I am with you. And that's why through prayerful consideration, we move away from an offering that helps us sustain ministry and instead say, God, we want to increase ministry for your glory and to impact our world. That's why we've landed on these three key features this year. The Palmerston North building, as shared in videos last week, the Arise Care ministry of meeting the needs of the vulnerable and showing through tangible love, through tangible steps, Christ's love. And as we'll talk about next week, hearing from every campus pastor on a video to every location, why as a church we're going to take steps of faith and meet needs in every town and city where we have an Arise community. We're focused on these things so that we believe we are heeding God's call. It's time to get to work. It's time to build. Palmerston North building, it's a miracle unfolding before our eyes. It doesn't make natural sense to buy a building for a church in 2024, 2025, where we found it, crazy. God's fingerprints, as we saw in the video, the testimony throughout every aspect of the story. But I need you to know what God did in me through the journey of the Palmerston North building is to declare a fresh word into my faith, into my spirit, that we are going to get a permanent venue for every location of Arise, a permanent home to gather the saints, to disciple, to pray. I need someone to know today, this is not about an asset portfolio. This is about pastors spending more time praying and prophesying than ringing up church, school halls or community town halls saying, can we have youth on a Friday night? You know, I heard a story from Palmerston North that for 1 month in the 5-year journey of Palmerston North, they had 4 Sundays in 4 different venues. That's crazy. Now they've got a home where our brand new campus pastors, full of faith with discernment and prayer, Will is gathering people to pray right there in that building this morning. There'll be dozens of people worshiping God, kids finding out who he is. Come on. We have 5 more locations that hire a venue. Some of them started packing this morning at 5 a.m. Amazing, praise God. Let's thank every person who ministers by building the house on a Sunday morning. So deeply grateful for you. Some will be at work serving in their local church, in their campus till maybe 10 p.m. tonight. Amazing, thank you Jesus and thank you team. But imagine if that same energy could go into fostering an environment of discipleship, of prayer, of worship, of faith. Ah. A permanent venue for every location. And that's why we want to commit through faith that the offering would bring in enough that we could pay down a third of the debt. The building costs $1.5 million. We've paid a deposit of $500,000. $100,000 of that came from the community at Arise in Palmerston North. Amazing people of faith already giving and sowing and serving. Just need everyone to understand, a campus of about 100, 120 people have already sown 100K into this building this year. Amazing. But we want to move forward and we want to move fast. What if the right opportunity came alive in Hamilton, Christchurch, Masterton, Dunedin, Selwyn tomorrow? We don't want to be inhibited by debt. We want to be able to see what God is doing in the five locations where we do have amazing facilities. We want to see God doing that in the other five. Amen. So that's why my faith goal this year is that we would raise $500,000 from this offering to pay down debt for Palmerston North. Amen. Church, I wrestled whether or not to share this, but I think it's too apt to miss out. But 2 weeks ago, Amy and I were receiving prayer from a pastor, a prophet really, that we've never interacted with before, didn't actually know our journey or the journey of Arise. He's in his 68th year, 30 plus years of ministry, and he began to pray for us. We received a word that has deeply ministered and impacted our life as he spoke to things that only God would know that we've been carrying. But as part of that environment, he began to prophesy over our church that we would see the hand of God through three very distinct signs. One was that there would be a swell of souls of salvation across our church as people come back or come to know the Lord for the first time. And we can all say amen to that. Number two, that there would be a spirit of worship rise in a church. And he used these phrases where you wouldn't have to pull people to worship. You wouldn't be able to stop your church. And we wanted to say, oh, my friend, you don't even know. But that's what's happening in our house already. You are prophesying the promise. And number three, that we would experience unusual favor through two properties and the release of finance. Oh, something came alive, a spark in my spirit. Amen. Amen. That's why we want to lean in and say with Arise Care, we want to not just sustain, maintain, do our little bit, but there is great need in our nation and as we've seen in the video across the world. And we can tangibly show the love. What a phenomenal story of the only opportunity to pray for that boy and see healing in that father was because we fed him breakfast on a school morning, 400,000 full breakfasts, amazing. I'm praying that as we approach the million breakfast mark, that we would have testimony after testimony after testimony of people say, because someone gave my kid breakfast, I know the love of Jesus Christ and I wanna shine his light for my whole world. That's why we're believing to increase the initiatives, not use any of this offering for salaries in Arise Care, but increase the initiatives and raise, my faith is to raise $400,000 through this offering that would increase the impact of Arise Care over the next year and a half. Amen? And that's why we're believing in faith to take steps in every campus. We are one church in many locations. It's unique. There are actually none like us in our nation that function the way that we do, to say that it's not just organizational structure charts and charitable trusts. It's saying in the spirit, I have a brother or a sister in Whangarei and Dunedin. I am united in faith with someone in Masterton, Palmerston North, Porirua, Kapiti. I am standing together with people who have been part of this church for 22 years in Wellington or 18 years in Christchurch or in Hamilton and saying together, together in unity, we can make a greater impact. Together. We're believing actually this year that as you read through the booklets you're about to get in just one moment, if you haven't already, you see something that every campus pastor is believing for this year, rather than just having that as a hope, oh God, that'll be awesome. We want to release that as soon as possible. I'm believing that through the offering, we would raise something together that we couldn't do in every location by ourselves. But it will mean that fresh kids equipment is coming into campuses, or we prepare for a new service, or we make a way for Arise Care to do something great in our town or in our city. That together, together we could do something great. And so that's why, church, my faith is that together over 900 givers would raise $1 million in this year's offering. It's a stretch. It's requiring faith. Last year, we raised $780,000 together. Last year, nearly 800 contributors took this moment, prayed, sought the Lord. And that's why I'm believing that tonight, today, over this next week, in fact, people have already begun to sow a seed into this offering. It's amazing. But that over this next week, more people would heed the spark. Amen. Hear what God would have us do. And together we could do something great. As the worship team joins me in every location and the people care teams begin to hand out booklets, if you've already got one, you can pass them along. But we want to make sure that these booklets you've got in your hand are a tool for your prayer and your faith over this coming week. It's nice. It looks good on the coffee table. Creative team's done an incredible job. But I want you to know, even this week, shared about the booklet with family members that right now were not serving the Lord, but they saw it in our house. It opened up a door of testimony, of faith, for me to be able to say, this is what we're believing that together we would do for these reasons. Because He is more than able. Amen. There is a spark in the air. It's time to build. But together we can do so much more. It's what I love about these moments. It's what we love when we read the scriptures. People just bring what the Bible says, just what their heart was compelled to bring, what they heard from the Lord. That's why for a teenager or a uni student, I remember being in that season of life and saying, well, what I can bring is like $10 a week. Means I'm going to stop my subscription for one of the 17 subscriptions I've got going out of my account. Maybe have 1.5 less coffees because coffee costs about $4 million now. But I make a decision, I'm going to put $10 aside a week, and at the end of the year, I've actually contributed $500. That's amazing as a uni student. That's why as a family, we could make a decision, perhaps I'm going to put aside $50 of things that was discretionary spending every week, and at the end of a calendar year, I've contributed, as a family, we've contributed $2,500. Isn't that amazing? Together. It's why maybe for some young professional couples, two incomes in your house, or people in a different season of life, no dependents in your home. Maybe for you, you're able to say, we can put aside $100 a week to make a step of faith. It's time to build and realize that after a year, you've contributed $5,000 for the glory of God and for the impact across the nation. In every location, can you stand to your feet this morning? If you're with us online today, thank you for tuning in. If you can, right where you are, I'd love you to stand. A moment of unity, a moment of faith. My ask to our church community right across Aotearoa, New Zealand, together, would we carry faith? Together, would you say yes and amen to the Lord's call? It's time to build. Together, would you unite in prayer over the next 7 days? And then together, would we arrive next Sunday ready to contribute to what God is, He is already doing. A great move of the Spirit is happening across New Zealand. I believe it. We're seeing it. We're hearing the testimonies. And I don't want to be 16 years down the track saying, oh man, Arrives just survived. I want to be 2 years down this track saying, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.